I do dog walking on the side, and one day I got this new dog. First day out walking, it lunged at my face, practically tore off my nose. After it was all over was the pain. I couldn't look in the mirror. I decided to call the advocates. They walked me through every step, and I never saw a single bill. Got me a settlement that covered everything.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. With us, you can focus on healing from a dog bite, and we'll handle everything else.
I do dog walking on the side, and one day I got this new client, a new dog. First day out walking it, it just lunged at my face and just practically tore off my nose. After it was all over was the pain. And something like that stays with you. I couldn't look in the mirror. I didn't want to know what I looked like afterwards. With the emotional and physical trauma, there's also the money. Where am I going to get this money to recover and look like myself again? I didn't know who to contact. I ended up talking to my dad, and he told me to talk to the advocates. They walked me through every step, and I never saw a single bill. Lots of plastic surgeries, lot of tears, but the advocates got me a settlement that covered everything, and then some. I am so glad I made that call.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. With us, you can focus on healing from a dog bite, and we'll handle everything else.
I don't know if you understand this, guys, but we hold the gateway to hell in our hands. The evil that oozes from the internet and these apps and into our hands is disgusting, and we allow it. The pure evil that can take form on social media and make our minds submit to it. It pounds images into our heads and says this is normal. It's not normal to see senseless killing and feel nothing. It's not normal to watch a man die and feel anything but horror. It's not normal to watch a widow mourn for her husband and not have your heart ache for her and her children. It's not normal. It's pure evil, unfiltered, and unafraid to show itself. But I think that with this video, a lot of people believe that it should not have been released. It should be scrubbed from the internet, which I somewhat agree with, but there are a lot of people who had already seen this video of Charlie Kirk being assassinated, and I think that it is good that people saw it. Why do you need to see it? Because you need to watch the evil make itself known. It's plain and simple. That's all it is. You need to see how unafraid it is. You need to see the gnashing of its teeth to realize that it's real. You need to see how blatantly obvious it is that it doesn't care you see it. Something needs to set you off. Something needs to be awakened in you. Why do you need to see a woman stabbed to death all alone and afraid on a train? Why do you need to see a man ripped through by a bullet in front of thousands, in front of his wife and kids? Why do you need to see a man martyred because of his beliefs? Because you need to wake up. The time of sitting idly by is gone. The time of being the good, quiet, non-confrontational man, it's gone. Time to stand up and speak up. If not for you, then for your kids. If not for your kids, then stand up for your grandkids. What we do today, it doesn't change tomorrow. It is what decides the future for the generations to come. This isn't left versus right. It's good versus evil. It is truth versus lies. If not me, then who? If not now, then when? Welcome back to the Resilience Network. Two things before we begin. Number one, you will be hearing me sipping on some mint tea right now because it is sinus season and I feel like absolute death. And I realized that I made a mistake because you were supposed to let the tea bag steep in the hot water. And I was running behind, so I did not do that. So I apologize to all you tea drinkers, especially in the UK, because I know that is like your... who knows what, essence of life, but I did not steep my tea. Number two, along with that, I happened to pick the most noisiest chair that I could possibly find. So if you hear me squeaking like crazy, I apologize. But there are a couple things that I want to get to today. actually a lot of things. Number one is Irina Zarutska. You probably haven't heard that name in a couple weeks because it is old news, but I want to touch on that just a little bit in case somebody hasn't heard about it, which if you haven't, you probably live under a rock, or you aren't listening to this because you have no technology, because it was pretty big news. A majority of people in the U.S. heard about it. I'm sure people outside of the U.S. heard about it. The second thing that I would like to talk about is the shooting of the ICE facility in Dallas, Texas, just a couple days ago. And then thirdly, the one that has been major headlines for the last couple weeks is the assassination of Charlie Kirk. There's a few things that I'd like to touch on, a couple of odd things with this case that some people are covering, some people don't really care about. I kind of care about it because it's just odd. Anytime you have the FBI involved in things, things don't really add up. Since the beginning of time, things have not added up with the FBI and the CIA, any three-lettered agency. If you're asking my opinion, I believe that all three-letter agencies should just be discontinued. But anyways, Irina Zarutska, if you do not know who that is, she is a 22, 23-year-old Ukrainian refugee who happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. She got on a subway in Charlotte, North Carolina, and was brutally murdered by a man by the name of DeCarlos Brown Jr. The reason that this is such a big story, number one, obviously, a stabbing on a train is a pretty big story, but number two, it is because this man had no reason to stab her, but had every reason to be behind bars. See, DeCarlos Brown Jr. has been arrested, I believe, 13 or 14 times prior to this stabbing, and was let go. Now, why was he let go? Because these DEI hires that we somehow are acquiring in high positions, this affirmative action has been taking place all over the country and is finally, I believe, coming to an end. People are starting to realize that it was a bad decision, and this is one of the reasons that it was such a bad decision, because you get judges in place that have no license to be practicing, and they slap somebody on the wrist for committing awful crimes and just let them walk out. And I believe it was his prior offense to this, the 13th or 14th time, that he was arrested and was let go on a no-cash bond. So if you don't know what a no-cash bond is, that is pretty much a slip of paper that is saying, I owe you. So you don't have to stay in jail. You don't have to pay anything. You just sign a piece of paper that says, hey, yeah, I agree. I'll come back for my court date as long as you guys let me go. So I don't think like a criminal, because I'm not one. But if I were to try and think like a criminal, and somebody slid a piece of paper across the desk to me and said, hey, if you want to get out of jail, you can sign this paper right here. You don't have to pay us anything, and you can get out just as long as you come back when it's your court date. And someone like DeCarlos Brown Jr. is probably like, heck yeah, these people are idiots. I'm going to sign this. And obviously wasn't going to, had no intention of reappearing in court. Now, this is, I don't know how to explain it. It's retarded. You let somebody go after the 14th offense on a no cash bail. Completely idiotic. Now, I have not seen near as much news as I should about this still. It was a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember the exact date. I believe it was the end of August, August 27th, 28th, that this happened. But WBTV covered it and said a woman was stabbed to death on the Charlotte Light Rail just minutes after sitting in front of the man accused of attacking her, according to an affidavit obtained Thursday. On Friday, August 22nd, a woman identified as 23-year-old Irina Zarutska was stabbed to death on the light rail in Charlotte's South End neighborhood, officials reported. Zarutska's family said she had recently fled to Charlotte from war-torn Ukraine. So this young woman had just escaped a war zone to be brutally stabbed to death by a man on a train. Records show that 34-year-old DeCarlos Brown Jr. was charged on Thursday, August 28th, with murder of Zarutska's killing. An affidavit published on August 23rd and obtained by WBTV on Thursday, August 28th, accused Brown of stabbing Zarutska in the throat. Brown was being held without bond. So finally, somebody realizes that he needs to be held and not given a no-cash bond. It's about time. Good job, North Carolina. Now, that is not the only headlines breaking in the U.S. Just recently, a couple days ago, there was a shooting at an ICE facility in Dallas, Texas. And naturally, the left tried to spin it to say that it was right-wing MAGA that was shooting at this ICE facility. And I will give them that. At the beginning, it does seem like, you know, something that an extremist on the right would do. And the right typically does not like illegal immigrants. We are trying to get rid of them right now. This administration has been trying to get rid of them for a long time, and I'd say Donald Trump is doing a great job at it, but the left does not like that. And so I could see an extreme, excuse me, an extreme right-wing guy possibly doing this until you look at the facts. You look at what actually happened, and you take a look at this guy's background. So it was 29-year-old Joshua John, who shot up this ICE facility. He shot a couple bullets into the building and then a couple of rounds into a white van that happened to be driving by. And the irony of it all is that he shot three of the immigrants and didn't hit any ICE officers. So he succeeded in doing the exact opposite thing if he set out to do. Authorities did find that the shell casings that he had been using, there was a couple of them that had not been used yet, and they had anti-ICE written on them. So you can only imagine that this guy was not a right-wing MAGA. He was, in fact, a leftist, a liberal, and you can take a look at his family and see that, yeah, he was definitely liberal. I believe his sister was charged multiple times. And his parents, there's not much information on his parents right now, but I do believe that they are leaning toward.
As I'm walking home from class one day, boom, out of nowhere, a car jumps the curb and hits me, breaking my pelvis. I was terrified and I was in pain. Laying in the hospital bed, I didn't know what to do. I was 1,000 miles from home. I'm a college student. There's no way that I have the money to pay for hospital bills, let alone a lawyer. But then I heard about the Advocates. They don't charge you anything, not even a dime, unless they win your case. So I call them up. I'm an out-of-state student, and they still represented me. They were incredible. The Advocates helped me every step of the way. The settlement that they got me paid for all of the hospital bills and physical therapy to help me walk again. It also covered the shifts that I missed from work. Even if you're an out-of-state student, these people will help you. Definitely call the Advocates. You won't regret it.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. College is hard enough without worrying about medical bills. If you're hurt, give us a call. We'll take care of the rest.
Towards the left as well, but this man had shot into this facility. He used a high-powered rifle up on a roof, got into position, and was sniping down into the buildings in this van before taking his own life. And thankfully, nobody else was hurt, but there was three people that were hit by the rounds. One has unfortunately passed away, and two have critical injuries, I do believe. And that is really all I have to say about that, because there's not much other information out yet as of right now when I'm recording. But in case you hadn't seen that, that is what's happening there. And now, on to the main thing that I really want to spend some time on, is the Charlie Kirk assassination. Now, there is a lot of conspiracy theories out there, and I am all for the conspiracy theories. I'm all for them. I love conspiracy theories. I can jump down the rabbit hole with just about anybody on just about any topic. But the conspiracy theories about this Charlie Kirk assassination have gotten pretty far out of hand, I will say. There are a lot of people that I listen to that are saying just about the same things, but then there are a couple that are way out there. But there are a few things that I have noticed that has been very iffy and very curious with this case. Number one would be the texts going back and forth between Tyler Robinson and his boyfriend. Yes, his boyfriend. Supposedly, his boyfriend is a transgender female, but that just makes Tyler gay. And it's his boyfriend. So the interesting thing with these text messages, if you haven't seen them, I've seen a lot of things going around social media that aren't the actual text messages. There's a lot of people making fun of them, but then there are some people spreading things around where they think it's the actual text messages, but it is not the text messages. The first iffy thing about this is you do not see the actual application that they used. So supposedly it was on Discord. I believe that's what the authorities are saying, but I've heard a lot of different things. Supposedly this text conversation was through Discord, but you don't actually see these text messages coming through that application. All you see, so I have the actual document for the court case pulled up right now. Excuse me. I have the actual document from the court case pulled up right now. And there's no pictures, there's no screenshots, it's just typed out here. The ones that I've seen going around online and through different news articles, it's just typed out. So nobody has the actual pictures, which supposedly the officers took pictures off of the boyfriend's phone. I believe his name was Lance. They were taking pictures off of this guy's phone, but nobody's actually seen that evidence. Nobody's seen it through the application, so these could very well be fabricated. And by reading them, here, let me get another sip of tea. By reading them, you can kind of tell something ain't right. So I'm going to read these off for you, just in case you haven't seen them or have been reading the wrong ones that people are spreading around. But it says, after reading the note, the roommate responded, "What? You're joking, right? Robinson, I'm still okay, my love, but I'm stuck in Orem for a little while longer yet. Shouldn't be long until I can come home, but I gotta grab my rifle still. To be honest, I had hoped to keep this secret till I died of old age. I am sorry I involved you." Roommate, "You weren't the one who did it, right?" Robinson, "I am. I'm sorry." Roommate, "I thought they caught the person." Robinson, "No, they grabbed some crazy old dude. They interrogated someone in similar clothing. I had planned to grab my rifle from my drop point shortly after, but most of that side of town got locked down. It's quiet, almost enough to get out, but there's one vehicle lingering." Roommate, "Why?" Robinson, "Why did I do it?" Roommate, "Yeah." Robinson, "I had enough of his hatred. Some hate can't be negotiated out. If I'm able to grab my rifle unseen, I will have left no evidence. Going to attempt to retrieve it again. Hopefully they have moved on. I haven't seen anything about them finding it." Roommate, "How long have you been planning this?" Robinson, "A bit over a week, I believe. I can get close to it, but there's a squad car parked right by it. I think they already swept that spot, but I don't want to chance it." Robinson, "I'm wishing I'd circled back and grabbed it as soon as I got to my vehicle. I'm worried what my old man would do if I didn't bring back Grandpa's rifle. I don't even know if it had a serial number on it, but it wouldn't trace to me. I worry about prints I had to leave in a bush where I changed my outfits. Didn't have the ability or time to bring it with. I might have to abandon it and hope they don't find the prints. How the F will I explain losing it to my old man? Only thing I left was the rifle wrapped in a towel. Remember how I was engraving those bullets? The effing messages are mostly a big meme. If I see notices big bulge, ooh, on Fox News, I might have a stroke. All right, I'm going to have to leave it. That really effing sucks. Judging from today, I'd say Grandpa's gun does just fine. I don't know. I think that was a $2,000 scope." Robinson, "Delete this exchange. My dad wants photos of the rifle. Says my grandpa wants to know who has what. The feds released a photo of the rifle, and it is very unique. He's calling me right now. Not answering. Since Trump got into office, my dad has been pretty diehard MAGA. I'm going to turn myself in willingly. One of my neighbors here is a deputy for the sheriff. You are all I worry about, love. I'm much more worried about you. Don't talk to the media, please. Don't take any interviews or make any comments. If any police ask you questions, ask for a lawyer and stay silent." Now, you may think, that sounds as normal as a person admitting just about everything they just did and where they left everything would be. And that's the first thing. Is this is perfectly plotted out to be, just giving away every single little thing he did. Nobody in their right mind would do this. It pinpoints every single thing he did, where the weapon was, the fingerprints, whose rifle it was. It tells everything. Now, if that's not weird enough, take a look at some of the wording. I know a lot of other people have hit on this. Candace Owens has done a couple of things, or looked at a couple of these things. But if you look at it, there are an insane amount of words that nobody that age uses. I am still okay, my love. Retrieve. Vehicle. People don't use that type of language. I'm in my mid-20s, and I don't say retrieve. I don't say vehicle. Only thing I left was the rifle wrapped in a towel. So he's pretty much pinpointing every little thing that he did and just handing it over to the police. That just doesn't make any sense to me. A lot of people are actually making fun of this and using AI to create this conversation. I'm guessing that the FBI did the same thing. And I know a lot of other people are saying that too, because it literally sounds like AI's talking. Like, people from the 1930s, 1940s are talking with each other. I am still okay, my love, but I'm stuck in Orem for a little while longer. You weren't the one who did it, right? And another thing that's very confusing to me is, how does this Robinson know everything that's going on? I haven't seen a lot of people talk about this yet. I mean, he may be looking at social media wherever he was hiding during this time, but he knows everything that's going on. He knows that they caught some crazy old dude, and they interrogated someone else in clothing that looked kind of like his. How does he know that? How does he know all this information? And also, where is he hiding this whole time? Candace Owens does... She dives down the rabbit hole quite a ways, but she does have a very good timeline about this stuff that does have some odd holes in it. Like, where is he hiding this whole time? So he shoots Charlie, I think it was right around 12 o'clock, but he doesn't get caught until the next day. But also, his text messages don't line up with what he was doing or where he should be. And then there's also a photo of him at a Dairy Queen, I think it was around 6, 7, maybe 8 o'clock, the night that he shot Charlie. So what was he doing for 7 hours? Where was he at? And why does he feel confident enough to be going to a Dairy Queen after he just shot somebody? I know psychos are weird, and that, you know, I've seen a lot about Jeffrey Dahmer. I've watched the documentaries that have come out about him, and he was fine doing stuff like that after he murdered somebody and ate them. But this just doesn't sound right. He showed up at a Dairy Queen while he was being hunted down, and he ate some ice cream. How does that make any sense? It doesn't. Now the second.
As I'm walking home from class one day, boom, out of nowhere, a car jumps the curb and hits me, breaking my pelvis. I was terrified and I was in pain. Laying in the hospital bed, I didn't know what to do. I was 1,000 miles from home. I'm a college student. There's no way that I have the money to pay for hospital bills, let alone a lawyer. But then I heard about the Advocates. They don't charge you anything, not even a dime, unless they win your case. So I call them up. I'm an out-of-state student, and they still represented me. They were incredible. The Advocates helped me every step of the way. The settlement that they got me paid for all of the hospital bills and physical therapy to help me walk again. It also covered the shifts that I missed from work. Even if you're an out-of-state student, these people will help you. Definitely call the Advocates. You won't regret it.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. College is hard enough without worrying about medical bills. If you're hurt, give us a call. We'll take care of the rest.
Thing that seems a little off about this is that if you watched the video, I hope you didn't, because it was very, very graphic, but if you did watch the video, there's things that don't seem to add up. Now, in the video, there's actually two videos that I saw the day of. One was a little bit further away, and the second one was a lot closer. And the one that is closer, you can see him getting hit on the right side of his body, in his neck. Because his head kind of kicks to the side, to the right side, and you see a lot of blood coming out the left side. Now, something doesn't add up. Because the vantage point that the feds show is that Tyler Robinson shot Charlie Kirk straight on, right in front of him. Where he was down at in the little amphitheater is directly in front of where Tyler Robinson was at. But in the video, it looks like he's getting shot from the side. Now, there's been a lot of speculation on this. I know some people have thought that maybe he had something, some kind of explosive device in his microphone. Other people have said, well, there's a little trap door on the ground right there where he was at. And so maybe somebody popped up from below there and shot him. Number one, if somebody were to pop up from below and shoot him, I think you'd see that. It'd be pretty blatantly obvious to everybody in the crowd that somebody was popping up from the ground, unless it was directly behind him. But then his security would have seen that as well. So I think that can be tossed out. There's another one that says, oh, maybe his security guard did it, because supposedly there was somebody standing beside him who moved their hand at the exact time that he got shot. I don't really buy that one either. But like I said, there's a lot of conspiracy theories. Candace Owens goes very, very deep into this, all the way to honey and bees and beehives. And the flag of Utah being a beehive, and her school, her daughter's school, and seeing a picture of a beehive, and kind of going off the deep end. There's a lot of stuff that I can correlate with her story and what she's saying, but then she kind of went a little crazy. So I will encourage you to go listen to what she's saying, because she does have some pretty interesting stuff that she's finding out. But then at the same time, there are some things that she's saying that kind of sound very out there. But who am I to judge, because some of my beliefs are very out there as well. But yeah, there are a lot of conspiracies around this. One of them, I know people are saying a lot about the concrete. The next day that they removed concrete, or maybe it wasn't the next day, a couple days later, they were cutting out the concrete and repouring it. And so something had to be there. The bullet shell, or the bullet, or something showing that he was shot from that angle. but I will tell you, I don't know if you guys have ever tried to get blood out of concrete. It doesn't work that well. I'm in the trades, and I have bled on concrete plenty of times. It is almost impossible to get out. And the amount of blood that came out of Charlie after he was shot, that poured all over that concrete, if I was the person in charge of that school, I would probably want that removed and reported to, because that is going to be a constant reminder of what happened, and it's going to be there forever. I mean, it soaks into the concrete, and that's that. It's there permanently, and so I would imagine that's exactly what happened there. So I'm kind of debunking that one, because that just doesn't make sense. A lot of other people say that there is a giant network of tunnels underneath UVU, and that's what the trapdoor was for, right there by Charlie. Like I said, kind of already debunked that one, because that does not make sense. I mean, a lot of people would have seen that. My big thing that I've been seeing, though, which doesn't make sense, and this was the same for the shooting of President Trump, is somebody took a video of the shooter right before they shot. So somebody looked up and saw this shooter run across the roof, and they didn't do anything. They didn't yell. They just recorded it. And I don't understand, how does that cross your mind? Like, there's a guy running across the roof with a gun. There's a very big political figure here speaking, and I'm just going to record it? I'm not going to say anything? Even if it would be Secret Service or somebody, which obviously it's not, because Charlie was not that. He wasn't a government representative. He wasn't in the government at all. He was a political speaker. So he's not going to have snipers. Why would you not say something? And this is the same thing that happened with Donald Trump, which okay, I'll give you that much. He is probably going to have snipers, so how are you supposed to know? But Charlie Kirk, he's not going to have that high security. So why would you record it and not say anything? That's a little fishy to me. And supposedly, Candace Owens has found this person and has contacted them. She doesn't really show any proof that that is the person. She says that somebody's cousin's brother's uncle's friend took this video, and she got in contact with them somehow. And they said that the person that ran across the roof was completely different than Tyler Robinson. He was not wearing the black clothing and the jeans like Tyler Robinson was wearing. Instead, he was wearing tactical gear. And he looked older and more professional. And, yeah. She got that information from this connection. But hasn't really shown proof that that's who that was. There are a lot of things that she says that I was agreeing with, and now that I'm saying it out loud, kind of don't add up. And I will say, Steven Crowder does a great job at debunking some of those things. Other things he has not brought up and hasn't mentioned. But I will say, he does debunk quite a few of them. I've been listening to Steven Crowder and Candace Owens and a little bit of Tucker Carlson. And they have all had their kind of take on what has been going on. But something just doesn't add up. Especially with these text messages. And I'm going to be honest, I'm pretty disappointed in the director of the FBI, Kash Patel. Pretty disappointed in what's going on. Because things are looking fishy and they're not adding up. And he just keeps going. And all these things that he supposedly promised that was going to happen, like the Epstein files, which, crazy how they were making a decision on that when all of this was going on that nobody knows about, hasn't been released yet. And he said that he was going to do that. And there's been no sign of a change there. But anyways, I would encourage you to go and find this document online of the court case and read some of these text messages, because they do not add up. And that's one of the other points that I wanted to talk about, was the responses from the government. It's been confusing, because the FBI says one thing and the governor of Utah was saying another thing. But then we see in this evidence that it's a different thing. So either these guys aren't communicating very well, or they're seeing two different things, and something's not connecting. I've heard a lot about the bullet, which I'm a hunter, and I can tell you right now, a 30-06 bullet is going to blow through just about everything. I know that one of the guys from Turning Point was talking about how it was a miracle that the bullet didn't go through and kill somebody else, which I do believe in miracles, but a 30-06 bullet penetrating somebody through the throat when there's not really any thick bones in your throat, not going all the way through, that's pretty fishy. I mean, especially with everything that's going on right now with this case, and somebody just coming out saying, oh, it was a miracle. That doesn't sit right. 30-06, even Alex Jones was saying, right when he found out the news, he's talking about it, and he said, hey, I hunt hogs, and
when I shoot a hog, they're about 2 feet thick of meat and bone, and a 30-06 goes in and has a whatever diameter hole on the front and blows out a 4-inch diameter hole on the backside. That wasn't my impression of Alex Jones. I do a much better one, but I'm trying to stay a little bit quiet. But that doesn't add up either, because yeah, I've shot a 30-06 before too, and I've seen the damage that it does. And I'm not saying it would have taken his whole head off, because it probably wouldn't have, but it would have made a mess and it wouldn't have stopped. So that just doesn't make sense to me. A 30-06. Go ahead and go find a friend. If you're on the right and you're not into hunting, go find one of your friends that owns a 30-06. Go outside, get a watermelon. That'd probably be kind of close to, maybe a watermelon. Get a cinder block. Shoot a 30-06 at it, 200 yards. Number one, 200 yards is not that far away. I have a 243 that I shoot 800 yards with. And when I was dialing it in, I was hitting, what was I using? I can't remember. I think it was golf balls, something small. It was either golf balls or shotgun shells. And I was hitting them at 800 yards. Granted, it wasn't every single shot, because that is you can't even see a golf ball, hardly. But you could see them take off flying. I had somebody spotting me. And you could see them take off flying when I'd hit it. So that's at 800 yards. 200 yards with a 30-06 with a decent scope is not a far shot. Not a hard shot at all. And that bullet is going to go straight through. So go ahead, find somebody that has a 30-06. Ask them if you could go out shooting with them or borrow it. Go to 200 yards and take a shot at something that's thick. It's going to blow right through it. That doesn't make any sense to me. Now, I believe in miracles just as much as the next guy. I'm a Christian. I believe that, Jesus, he causes miracles. The Holy Spirit working through people can cause some miraculous things. But a 30-06 bullet going through somebody's neck, I don't really buy that. So there's a lot of very weird things that don't add up with this. And now, if you haven't seen that video, it is a good thing, because I see it every time I think about it and close my eyes, I can see it. But if you have seen it, I do want to say that I think that it probably is a good thing that we've seen that. Why do you need to see it? Because I believe that we need to see the evil making itself known. It's become so blatantly obvious that there's evil working. It was behind the scenes, but now I think it's right out in the open. It's become fearless because of the society that we live in today. And it needs to be seen. Because it's opening people's eyes. From Irina Zarudska to the Charlie Kirk assassination, to the shooting in the schools a couple weeks ago, to all the other shootings in the school this year, to the shooting in the ICE facility. There is so much evil running rampant in this world. And we need to see how unafraid it is. You need to see the gnashing of its teeth to realize that it's real. You need to see how blatantly obvious that it is that it doesn't care that you see it. Something needs to set you off, and I think this is what's going to set people off. This is the turning point for America. The right wing needs to wake up and stop being so weak. I mean, I'm not telling you to go out and start shooting people. But I'm saying stop being weak and letting the left walk all over you. And if you're a Christian, stop being afraid. Stop being afraid to confess your faith. Stop being afraid to talk about Christ in front of people. I think what happened to Charlie was an important part in American history. Because the more I look online, the more I see people that I know before were not talking about their faith or proclaiming the name of Jesus, but they are now. And even J.D. Vance said that in the last couple weeks, he's talking more about Jesus than he has in his entire life. And that's what needs to happen. It's sad that it took the death of somebody this big to cause that. Or to cause somebody to, not even just in your faith, but to cause somebody to talk about their political beliefs. Because before, the left was so violent, and still is, that you wouldn't want to say anything. I know I wouldn't want to say anything. That's why I started this. That's why I'm talking now. But before, I did not talk about politics unless I knew that person was a conservative like I am. I didn't talk about Jesus unless I knew that person knew who Jesus was like I do. I would keep my faith and my political beliefs to the people inside of my church or the people that I work with that I knew would agree with me. Or maybe not even agree with me, but, you know, be kind of along the same page. But we need to wake up. Why do you need to see a woman get stabbed on a train and dying alone and afraid? Why do you need to see a man get shot in front of a crowd of people? In front of his wife and kids? Why do you need to see a man martyred because of his beliefs? Because you need to wake up. We all need to wake up. The time of sitting idly by has long passed. It's gone. We're not going to get that time back where we can just relax and forget about our convictions. The time of being the good, quiet, non-confrontational man, it's gone. Here's the thing, if you refrain from politics, that doesn't make you better than anyone. I know there's a lot of people out there that say, oh, I'm not into politics, or, oh no, I don't really share my political beliefs with anybody else. People leaving politics to other people is what got us here in the first place. You not standing for what you believe and thinking of the future, that's what's gotten your children here. That's what's gotten your grandchildren here. The people before us, them not standing up, not taking a stand for what they believe in, that's what's got us in this situation. Not paying attention to politics and what's happening in the U.S. isn't just being indifferent. It's being irresponsible, and it's being self-centered. Politics is what moves this country and keeps it in balance. As of now, it's grossly off balance. So I'll encourage you, continue to keep up the good fight. Continue to speak out about what you believe in. Continue to share your faith and your beliefs, because it's the only thing that's going to make a change right now. I know a lot of people are standing up, saying enough is enough, but we can't just sit back and let them do it. There's a wave of people waking up, and you need to be part of that wave. You can't just let other people do it for you anymore. We can't just let other people do it for us anymore, because I was part of the problem. It's time to stand up. It's time to speak out. And it's time to make sure that the left is afraid to mess with us. Because before, the left had no problem getting in our face, or disagreeing loudly, or causing a scene because of what they believe in. But it needs to be the opposite. So I encourage you to do that. Speak out. If you like this episode, I know there's a couple things that I said repeatedly, and a lot of this was old news, but I wanted to touch on it and kind of give my opinion. excuse me. Hopefully next time I will not have sinus problems going on. But I thank you for being here, for joining me, and listening to my ramblings. And if you did enjoy it, you can make a one-time donation and help out this channel. And that is at patreon.com/ResilienceNetwork2025. That is Resilience Network 2025. 2025. And that is, I mean, any type of donation that helps the show, better equipment, we can get on some better guests. But thank you for stopping by. Thank you for listening. And I will be back.
We're here at Menards Bank Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned goods stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big.